This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
2 years ago, journalist, fashion editor and now property editor Emily Powell confessed that she was 33 and her parents gave her pocket money. It wasn't so she could buy Red Frogs and Dolly magazines, but so she could be financially disciplined and save up to buy her first home. Emily has just released her new book, From Debt to Deposit, or rather, From Debt to a Deposit, How to Buy a Home, and joins us. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Your parents had total control over your finances at that point. Why did you feel that you needed to do something so drastic to be able to save?
Yeah, it's an aggressive way to save for a deposit. Well, I had stuffed up financially over the years. I was a fashion editor before I was a property reporter. And I guess it was related to my self-esteem and my self-confidence that I overspent buying a lot of clothes, handbags and shoes. To make myself feel better. I thought if I looked good, then I would feel good about myself and others might like me more. Now, I'm 35 and in retrospect, I can see now that that was nonsense and I've got great self-confidence now. But that all went hand in hand with me falling off the bandwagon financially. Hmm. My parents still do have control of that account and I am rocketing towards the first home deposit now. I'll be able to buy at the end of the year if I want or continue to save if I want a little bit more buffer for myself. But it was really born out of a need to not just save for a deposit, but to develop much better financial habits that would serve me for the long term.
Was there something that triggered that realization in you that said all of these purchases aren't going to be the thing that does bring satisfaction? I need to redirect?
Yes, it was becoming a property reporter and giving away fashion. And I was at an auction in Melbourne where I work, and I saw the reaction of a couple who were my age as the hammer fell on an apartment, obviously their dream home. They wept, they embraced, there was so much emotion and pride. And I got in the car, having covered that auction for Domain, where I'm the property editor now, and I felt so much jealousy and emotion, more than any outfit I'd ever seen in a magazine. And I realised I want a house too. Now, by this point also, I was surrounded by property market commentary. So I was also creating a greater understanding of the benefits of buying a property. And I want to acknowledge that it's not for everybody. Mm. And it depends on what financial advice you have as to whether or not a property purchase is right for you and right for you in the long term. But I knew it was right for me. So all of those things together created the aha moment. But really, it was also a rock bottom moment for me. My mental health was suffering as well because I was stressed about money when I had it. I was stressed when I didn't have it.
Mm.
And that prompted the conversation with my parents where I confessed to them the extent of my financial worry, which was a $7,000 credit card debt, utilities bills going unpaid with debt collectors knocking on the door. And it wasn't that I just forgotten to pay those bills and needed a reminder.
Yeah.
It was that I had my head in the sand. I didn't have the cash flow to pay for it. And I confessed to my parents what I had done. And the grief and the sorrow and the worry hit them like the crowds at a Boxing Day fashion sale. I wailed on the floor and then we sat down and we drew up what is the pocket money savings plan, and that's what's referred to off the cover of the book.
Yeah, and it's good that you had that kind of support network as well, because that's quite important. And in that savings plan that you devised, you had $200 a week to spend, which, particularly living in Sydney or Melbourne as you do, that does not seem like enough to really get by. But I'm sure it's just a perspective thing. So what kind of lifestyle changes did you make to be able to live on that amount?
Yeah, enormous lifestyle changes were put in place to stretch this $200 as far as it would go. Now, my salary that goes into my parents' account, that my rent and utilities and bills are direct debited from that amount. And then my $200 goes towards groceries, 2 coffees a week, $50 for entertainment. So that might be a cheap meal with friends or brunch, and petrol, parking and incidentals. So I take a calculator to the supermarket and don't spend any more than $80 a week on food. I've had to adjust my lifestyle in that I can't go out to a Swiss restaurant. I can't just buy concert tickets.
Mm.
I've sacrificed a lot of those things in order to rocket towards a deposit as fast as I can. And I did thrash around a bit at first. It was an adjustment. And it probably, honestly, takes about 12 months to really, really mentally accept that this is going to be how you're going to live for the next few years. And that's when, for me, I stopped having those little pangs of longing when I would see something I wanted to buy. But it's, you know, I will never go back to my old ways probably after this. I just can't imagine it.
Well, you've mentally adjusted. And that's one of the things that I think is a real roadblock, particularly for younger people, is that the kind of headspace that you have to get around to go, okay, I'm not going to overspend. I'm actually going to live within my means. What are some of the main roadblocks that you've seen as you talk about your journey that people struggle with in terms of wanting to finally make some kind of change?
The biggest one is feeling dejected and stressed because the market has had turbo price growth. And looking at your situation and feeling dejected and thinking, what's the point? It's all too hard. You've got to get out of that mindset and just start making a start. Will Uncles is a financial planner from 4040 Finance who is quoted through the book as one of my experts. And I was chatting with him just this morning. And he said that a lot of people need to start seeing financial planners, talking to family or friends about money, or seeing a bank manager even before they've saved a dollar. So starting to walk, talk and think like a would-be first home buyer even before you've really started to squirrel away that cash to get a plan into place. And becoming a student of the market is very important as well. This book is really about giving people the confidence to read financial stories in the papers that might refer to the Reserve Bank of Australia, to be able to listen to a bit of economic commentary about the market and understand what that might mean for them, their circumstances, because it is complicated and it is hard to understand and we can't all be expected to be financially literate. So I recommend starting to read and be a student of the market now so that you can give yourself a firm target. I suppose it's like a footballer aiming for a premiership. You've got to have a firm target in mind to keep yourself on track saving in the long term, because we know that it could be, if you're in a couple, 4 years of saving, double that really if you're a single. And that's a long, long time to stay disciplined.
Yeah, and I think people put it off because if you are a single independent woman or a young guy just coming out of uni, whatever the case may be, I feel like, I don't know whether it's a cultural thing, but we do sort of hold back from getting into the property market or making those kind of big decisions until we have our other half and our family and you've kind of got that shared income, I guess, to bolster it a little bit.
That's right. And I never thought I would be embarking on property ownership on my own. If you had have asked me when I was in university how would my life play out, I would have said I'll be married and I'll be saving for a deposit with my partner and we'll be buying together. And certainly a lot of bank ads show couples with the bank manager going into the branch and smiling. So it's long been presented, I think, in the Australian psyche as a dual proposition. But the reality is, I haven't met somebody, and those traditional milestones of marriage and children are coming later in life. We know that the average age of getting married in this country is increasing. So if you want to get into the market, for some of us, the reality is, well, do we wait? I can't wait because I think now's the right time for me to try to get in. The market's softening, so I certainly can't put it off in the hope that I might meet someone. Although I acknowledge it would be easier if I did have a partner to pull cash with. I also acknowledge that because I'm single, I have the flexibility to adjust my lifestyle to be frugal, whereas it's very hard if you are a couple with children who might be trying to enact what I'm doing.
Yeah, so for the person who is looking to get into the property market, whatever lifestyle situation they might be in, what's your first recommendation to begin that process?
My first tip is to look at your debt level. What surprised me when I was researching and writing the book was learning that if you have a debt, then that could be tripled by the bank and that will be the amount that they will take off your loan. So if it was a $7,000 credit card for me, that meant that I could put $21,000 less of a mortgage that they would give me in that sum. So I realised that it's really important to start chipping away at your debts to get them as low as possible, to put yourself in a better position to get the loan that you want. Because if you're a first home buyer, $20,000 to $40,000, if you've got debt to that level, can be the difference between one suburb and another, and that's significant. So that was my first advice, chip away at those debts. And another bit of advice that Will Uncle has given me since we've been chatting, the financial planner, is also understanding that if you have a credit card, even if you're not spending it and it's sitting in your wallet, the bank still regard that as debt, that money that they've given you. So get advice to understand exactly what your debts mean, what your means are, and try to get your debts down as low as possible. And always read the fine print on credit cards and other financial products to understand what the long-term impact of them could be on your financial position.
It's certainly great advice, and it's a theme that we hear a lot, Emily. I do need to know, though, one final question for you. Given that you are so trusting of your parents, have they ever, like, used some of your cash to just go on a quick cruise, buy some extra chocolate? Like, are you monitoring that?
They better not, but you know what? I think at the end of all of this, I might have to buy them a very, very good bottle of wine and a big bunch of flowers. No, they haven't dipped into it. And, you know, I've gone from having anxiety about money and financial illiteracy to now having positive conversations with my parents about my finances. And that puts me in good stead for the long term. And, you know, if it's not your parents, you can be open with about money, then it might be a financial planner, a bank manager, a best friend, another relative. I encourage all of us to not be embarrassed about finances and be transparent, because it is something that if you can get a handle on it, you're going to be much better in the future, and you'll be having that housewarming sooner than you realise.
An important conversation to have, Emily. We expect to be invited the first time you get to, like, take the keys and open your front door.
Invite is in the mail. I'd love to have you there.
Thanks, Emily. You enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.